Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
And Tony, since you're our resident swinger.
I'm not a swinger.
Did you just say that he was our resident swinger?
Could you fix that, please?
And Chris Ello.
Some Italian people would say that's not really even Italian food.
I was just about to say.
Because real Italian pizza is just a thin slice.
Yes.
I just go crazy for a deep dish pizza.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
1-2 pitch is a one-hopper. Eats up Arias to short, but he backhands it. Throw to first is high, and the run's going to come in to score. Arias made a stellar play on a screaming line drive. It one-hopped into his backhand, but he threw high to Hosmer, and Hernandez comes in to score on the error. The Dodgers back in front 5-4.
Yeah. That's how it finished up last night. At Petco Park, Dodgers take the series. Welcome to Gwen and Chris, everybody. Shortly after 3 o'clock, we have about 2.5 hours to spend with you today. Ahead of Padres baseball, Chris Ello here, Tony Gwynn Jr. over there. That was a shame. I mean, because all I saw, honestly, on the first highlight package last night was the throw that went sailing way over the head of Hosmer. And I thought, oh, man, that's no good. But, I mean, when a guy makes a play like he made, you feel sorry for him in a little way. I mean, because he saved the run and then in a lot of ways gave the run back, and that was a difference in a ball game. But yeah. It was a great stop by Arias.
That's one of those plays that, for a young guy, he made the play and that becomes the focus as opposed to what he probably was going through prior to the ball being hit to him, which is, okay, Russell Martin's up, can't run that much, ball, I got some time. But after you make the play, the excitement of getting up, you forget about that part, which he did because he rushed that throw. He had way more time than he thought.
Yeah.
And then he ends up throwing it away, and the Padres end up losing a close game.
Yeah, it's too bad because you come back, you get a run in the eighth on the home run by Hosmer off Baez, and you get a run in the ninth. Mejia doubles, comes around on that wild pitch by Jansen. So the Padres give the Dodgers some problems, but the Dodgers get the series, and now the Padres head to San Francisco. Four games coming up with the San Francisco Giants starting tonight at about 6:45 for the first pitch this evening. Bunch of stuff on the program today. Tony is doing pre- and post-game on television, so we are not going to have his services for very long today, but we do have Scott Hansen coming on from the NFL Network. You may recognize the name. He is the host of the NFL Red Zone. And, well, I know we talk about Hard Knocks, and you can talk about any other show, Breaking Bad or Seinfeld or anything. Red Zone's my favorite show on television.
It should be everybody's favorite show.
It should be everybody's favorite show on television.
There's
so
no doubt.
We've got the host of that show coming on at about 3:30, Chris versus the Fans. And then we're going to debut it's the first week of college football, the first full week of college football. So Skyler's coming in. We met her last week, and she is our college football expert. We'll see just how good she is and how good you can be. A little college football pick'em segment coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll give you an opportunity to win some tickets if you can beat her picking college football games. So that's coming up on the show today. Big Five, of course, and all the rest of it. So lots to get done here in the next 2.5 hours. Tony, I normally do my blog on Friday morning. You can catch it at 97.3thefansd.com, our webpage. But I've actually already started tomorrow's blog.
Oh, you got a two-day start on it.
Yeah, I'm ahead of the game because it's getting to me. We touched on this yesterday a little bit about how they add the problems with the outfield have become kind of a new thing now for the Padres. And so I went through it last night, and I was just thinking, A.J. Preller is going to have a lot of big decisions to make between now and, I don't know, the start of spring training, during spring training next year, before opening day. This Padre baseball team has gone from, in a lot of ways, something that was very, very promising and exciting. It's still promising, but now I'm a little nervous about everything working out the way they hope it does, you know, to be right there where they want to be in 2020, which is next season.
Yeah.
Because they really do have a lot of issues right now. And, you know, the outfield is slumping. They've got holes in the infield. The catching situation isn't quite settled. The starting rotation, no one has really stepped up and grabbed a hold of that. There's been moments here and there. Other than Kirby Yates, your bullpen has been inconsistent. So it's that's kind of what I'm writing about for my blog tomorrow. I started writing it today, and I'll have it posted tomorrow morning. But I'm just curious, have things changed that much, or am I overreacting, I guess is the question.
I don't know that things have changed that much, but I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Over a course of a full season, things that that may have been blind spots for you at one point are no longer blind. You've had so many games to kind of evaluate. You might have thought highly of one spot. You may see that there needs to be some work there. And I think that's why you have the entire season, right? Is because you start to identify where you truly are strong at and where you truly are weak at. 162 games is going to give you all of those answers.
Yeah.
And
but you need all 162 to get the
you
answers.
You do. Because if we would have stopped this bad boy middle of July, we would have felt like there's not very many holes. There's some starting pitching we need, no doubt, maybe add a reliever. But we're pretty good there after that.
Yeah, we're ready.
And now we fast forward to August 29th, and it's a little bit different looking. It looks a little bit different than it did at that point. So I think in some regards you might be overreacting, but I think what really has happened is that the full season has played out, and now you have a little more clarity to what this team actually has to do in order to truly be competitive divisional-wise and wild-card-wise.
Yeah, because you see them up against the Dodgers, and it just seems like the Dodgers are bringing up threats every single spot in the batting order. I was watching the Minnesota Twins play yesterday. They now have seven guys that have over 20 home runs. That ties a major league record, and they have a guy with 19. So they're going to finish the season with an entire lineup of guys with 20 home runs. I mean, these are the kind of championship team. We're not even talking about Houston, the Yankees. I mean, look, the Padres' eventual goal should be to become a champion. I mean, I'm not talking about winning a division. I mean, being a champion. That's what it's all about. I'm sure if we asked A.J. Preller, that's what he wants someday for this franchise. Ron Fowler, the same thing. But you're starting to see now as the season goes along what champions have and what the Padres have, and it's not the same thing right now.
That's the point right there, and I was just getting ready to make it, right? You look at all the playoff teams that the Padres have had. All of them got bounced early in the playoffs.
Yeah.
With the exception of the two that made it to the World Series. When you compare the World Series roster to the Yankees World Series roster, you can see how the Padres could compete because that roster looks good. And my point is, those teams have really, really good players, and they have a lot of them.
Yeah.
The Padres have some good players. They don't have as many as the Dodgers, as the Yankees, as the Astros, the list is long. It's the playoff team, and that's just the cold hard reality. So for as much as we've been able to get excited about a team finally here in San Diego, for as much young talent as the San Diego Padres have, roster for roster, they're still a little short.
Yeah, they got a ways to go, and I think that's why this final month of the season is important, because it's going to be, to me, a key to go into the off season with some guys feeling pretty good about things.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hunter Renfroe doesn't want to finish the season hitting 189 in August and then again in September. You know, that's not going to wear well for Hunter Renfroe going. I mean, he's got 31 home runs this year. you would have said before the season, if he hits 31 home runs, I'll take it.
100%.
Well, he's got his 31, but I'm not taking it. I actually need more now.
Right.
So, you know, that's just an example of what I'm talking about. But this final month of the season is going to be very interesting. And it starts tonight in San Francisco with Chris Paddock. Here's another guy that was such a phenomenon early in the season. And everybody slumps. I get it. But his last four starts, Tony, 8.47 ERA. That's not what we saw from Chris Paddock. We need to see the phenomenal Chris Paddock, at least between now and the end of the season, I think, a little bit, so that we feel better about him going forward.
Phenomenal Chris Paddock will be an ace, will be an all-star. That's who Chris Paddock will be if he pitches like that for a whole season. What we're seeing now is a rookie Chris Paddock. You look at his numbers, 7-7, 3.86 ERA. If you'd have told me that at the beginning of the year, I'd be like, yeah, I'll take that from him. But as a rookie, absolutely.
Good season.
It's a good season, right. So ultimately, again, it boils down to these guys. I know nobody wants to keep hearing it, but he's a rookie in this game. And he's pitching pretty decent for a rookie. Now, he's had a rough couple, four starts? His last four have been a little rough. But you hope, as you said, that however long he's allowed to pitch the rest of the season, that he pitches well.
All right. We'll talk some more Padres, certainly, on the program. Plenty of NFL stuff. Final night of the preseason. College football kicking off in earnest tonight. We will discuss that. All of it ahead as we go toward Padre baseball.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NFL season, what, a week from today? First game?
What?
It's come so quick. That means fantasy drafts are popping up all this week into early next week as well. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris 321 on the Dow. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. And yes, football is right around the corner, but we're still talking Pods baseball. We're going to get to the phone lines. T in San Ysidro, welcome to Gwynn and Chris. Here's your opportunity to voice some frustration.
What's up, T?
How's it going?
We're hanging in here, man.
What's on your mind, T?
Tony, just bear with me. I mean, I ran into your dad, like five times. I'm a native of San Diego. I've been here all my life. But I ran into your dad about five times in my lifetime. I'm going to say four out of the five that were at the airport. I guess he was going to go scout players. And we've always chatted about hitting.
Yeah.
And you know what frustrates me the most about the Padres? And I think they're probably the only team, maybe a couple more. But they just want to hit freaking home runs. They don't just want to make contact. If you looked at this game against the Dodgers, did you see the way they were just putting the bat on the ball and they were getting doubles?
Yeah.
It is so frustrating. And what bugs me the most, you have just everyone that's in the lineup is just coming out of their shoes. You know, nobody puts the plate in the middle of the stands. If you look at your dad's swing, he had the plate in the middle of the stands, which is a byproduct why he had a lifetime of a .338 batting average. Because he could get those breaking balls that are breaking in front of the plate, even though he's getting full, he could still hit the ball. And the Padres, all the hitters, not even a single one, has the plate in between their legs. And secondly, nobody chokes up on the bat nowadays. You need to choke up. You need to have more control of the bat. I promise you, if they would just make those little adjustments, we would eliminate at least 100 strikeouts between the team and have more walks. But, Tony, this is I'm fed up. You know, our farm system, I don't know who does the ratings, but I can almost guarantee you they're on the bankroll because our farm system is pathetic. I don't care what they say, dude. Have you compared with all the other teams, man? The other teams, look at the Dodgers. I hate that team. I absolutely hate that team. But you got to praise what they do. Look at all the players they bring up. They bring up studs, man. And we we bring up nothing but a bunch of ham and eggers that are leftovers. They should be playing in Tijuana at best.
Now, wait a minute. Tijuana has some fine baseball. I want to take care. I want to make sure all the folks listening down below the border understand that they have some fine baseball. Look, T, you have 1,278 reasons to be upset. And that's how many times the Padres have struck out this year, which is far more than any other National League team. And even though they've broken a record this year for the most home runs, the strikeouts have been a major issue. And we've talked about it. The game they beat the Dodgers the other night, Tony, they struck out 5 times. The last 2 nights, they struck out 23 times. But I don't really know that the Padres are alone here when it comes to trying to hit home runs. I mean, that's all around baseball. And I just think it's a matter of trying to get a little better handle on it. We talked about the Astros several times. They led the league in strikeouts the year before they won the World Series. Then they said, hey, we're not striking out anymore. And they were able to put the bat on the ball, and things worked out for them. I'm sure the Padres are aware of it. They got to be seeing the same statistics that we're seeing.
First and foremost, T, fantastic observation on my pops.
He hit
at the front of the, or at least his front foot was in at the front of the box, and yes, he's basically straddled the home plate. To your point about the pods, you brought it up already, Chris. The other day against Dustin May, they had 5 punch outs. They did a really good job of putting the ball in play and forcing the defense to make plays. They didn't make plays. The Padres walked away with a victory. That's not a formula every game, but the more you're putting the ball in play, the more pressure you're putting on defense, and it limits what I like to call empty at-bats. Strikeouts are empty at-bats. There's nothing good that comes out of a strikeout, except maybe if the pitcher's up, you need to get him off the field. Okay, that might be the only positive. But
or the fact that you didn't hit into a double play.
Even that, though, is like, yes, you hit into a double play, but the punch, yeah, in certain situations, yes, I'll disagree with that, period. But that has been a problem for the Padres, especially in this. It seemed like in the first half, they made real progress. I don't know if you guys remember last year, they were striking out at a super heavy rate. Second half of the season, they cut those down. They started this first half of the season the same way. Wasn't a whole lot of strikeouts. I can go through my scorebook and find a lot of games where we weren't, because it seemed like last year they were getting to 10, 11 almost nightly.
Yeah.
And they cut that down. But in the second half, it seems like they reverted back to where they were at the beginning of the first half last season.
But do you notice it as a former ball player? Because I can't notice that stuff. Do you think they're swinging out of their shoes right now, or are they just not executing?
Too many guys are taking the same, at least from my perspective, are taking the same swing 0-0 that they're taking 1-2, 0-2. Okay. And I think that's what T's talking about. It's okay to want to drive the baseball. That's what the game is about, driving the ball. But there does need to be kind of, I don't want to say a, you want to shorten up when you get to 2 strikes.
You would think.
But the Padres, and you're right, the Padres aren't the only team guilty of this. There's a bunch of teams guilty of it. But when you look at the winners in this league, they usually are striking out less than they're walking. Or their walks are up. They're top 10 in walks, maybe bottom tier in strikeouts. And that's a formula offensively that you want to have. Let's get to another caller out there, Ronnie in San Diego. You're on Gwen and Chris. Thanks for your phone call. Here's your chance to voice your frustration.
Thanks, guys. I'll make it. I'll try to make a good point. First, thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for calling.
That's a good point right there.
Thank you.
I'm just kidding.
the problems that I'm facing with the Padres is the pitching. We're so easily able to dismiss. We're just throwing in pitchers that are directly from Double A. Maybe they'd have 5 or 6 games pitching in Triple A. We send them to the big league, and they don't do so well, and we skip him back to the minor league. Or in the case of the last pitcher that went to the Cleveland Indians, we just completely gave up on him. And He was pretty high as far as
Logan Allen you're talking about.
Logan Allen, he was considered one of their top prospects. He didn't spend much time in AAA, if ever, did he?
I don't think he did spend a lot of time in AAA.
Yeah, very little. I'd have to look him up, but not a lot. All right, well, so, yes, the pitching is an issue. Yes, the hitting is an issue. Yes, the fielding is an issue.
Scrape, we got time to sneak one more.
Yes, the wins and losses are an issue. Yes.
Okay, let's go to Kevin in Chula Vista. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Thursday, and thanks for calling in.
Hey, Kevin.
Yep. Hey, thanks, guys. Tony, Chris. Chris, I'm going to be a lot more harsh than you're allowed because I know you're the flagship here. But let me give you a term that we'll come back to in a minute. It's called baseball intellect. I want you both to think about that,
mm-hmm.
and we'll get back to that term in just a second. Let's talk about where we sit here, and we're September almost 2019. We were promised through this process by everybody in that organization, everybody in the San Diego sports media, that 2020 was going to be the year. Now, we don't have a catcher. We don't have a second baseman. We don't have a center fielder. For all intents and purposes, the entire outfield is an abysmal mess. You've got very little defensive prowess in that outfield. Nobody scares you there. So you have nothing coming up that you can call as a foundational starting pitcher at this point. Through all this experimentation that we've done, we don't have one guy yet that you can hang your hat on and say, that's my 15, 20 game winner that I'm going to hang my hat on the next several years. You don't have that. You have nothing in the bullpen, nothing that's come along this year. This has been an absolute abysmal disaster. And you've got a general manager, since he has been here, that has spent over $500 million on free agents. Think about that. If you or I did that in our jobs, we'd be fired given the results or lack thereof that has happened with that guy being the head of this baseball team. It's a screwed up mess, and it's time to call him out on it. It's a mess.
Kevin, did you read my blog? I haven't even written it yet tomorrow. That's honestly my blog. I mean, really, well, probably maybe to the point that you're extending it to, but yes, these are the things that I'm totally thinking about. There's no question about it. And they have to be thinking about it, too. They do. And they have to be concerned about it. Kevin, wish we had more time. We're at the bottom of the hour for a break, but good call. Constructed points that you made there.
It's hard to argue against what he said.
No, that's why I'm saying that's what I'm writing about. That read my blog tomorrow, Kevin. You'll get a little bit of enjoyment out of
now,
that.
Now I will say this:
it's a frustration right now.
You know, and so I went in and looked at where the Padres are in walks and mm-hmm. strikeouts. A team, they're fourth in strikeouts. And this is major league.
In the major, but they lead the National League.
They're first in the National League.
Yes.
And in the walks category, they are 22nd.
Yeah. That's got to.
You got to flip-flop that.
That flip-flop it or change it or get it closer. All right. Want to take a couple more calls? Scraby? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I think so. We got them. And we want people to be able to be frustrated.
All right. Brad's up.
After the break.
Oh, after the break.
Yes.
All right, so stay there, guys. Sorry, Brad. Didn't mean to. We do have to still take a break.
Got to pay these bills.
I thought we were just not paying bills this time. If you're online, stay there. We will get to you, and then we'll do some trivia and get into the rest of the stuff. Scott Hansen, we'll have him on the show. Maybe we'll push him back a little bit so that you guys can all get your thoughts in. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, 3:37 the time. Tony Gwynn Jr., hardest working guy in show business. You can see him on TV tonight, pre and post game, for Padres baseball. So he is headed down to the gas lamp to get ready for that. Of course, Padres are in San Francisco tonight. We'll have the pregame show at 5:45 and first pitch at 6:45. Scraby is here. Your phone calls are here, and we'll be doing some Chris versus the fans coming up in about 10 minutes. So if you want to get online for some of that, you can, 833-288-0973. We're going to debut our new college football pick'em segment in the 4 o'clock hour. So if you want a chance to win some prizes, pick some college football games, all you have to do is beat Skyler.
That's right.
Got to beat her, though, and she's tough. She's tough. I mean, I think she proved that last week just in our introduction with Skyler.
She held her own.
She's certainly going to be ready. She's going to be ready for her college football picks. So that's coming up. You'll get your opportunity to pick Skyler there on the college football stuff. Big Five, Tony will be back with us for that. And then Scott Hansen from the NFL Network also on the program today. He is the host of my favorite television show, perhaps of all time. That would be the NFL Red Zone. Do you know that I've been a Red Zone guy for like 7, 8 years or whatever, maybe 10, maybe since the beginning. I don't remember exactly when I first started doing it, watching it. But I will call my cable company between now and next Sunday to double check that I am still signed up for it. Like, that's how worried I am. Like, I won't just take a chance on opening day of the NFL. I will call and say, all right, I want to make sure that, you know, when Sunday 10 a.m. comes around,
it better be ready.
It better be on my TV. Yeah.
There's no other way to watch football on Sundays, I don't think. Yeah. The old way of doing it where you watch one game is old.
It's old, yeah. And like Scott says in the interview, if your favorite team's playing, you're going to watch the game.
Yeah,
you can watch every play. But other than that, there's no other way to watch other than the Red Zone. All right, Padres are struggling, scuffling. They got issues. It'll be in my blog tomorrow morning, but you're getting a chance to sound off about some of it right now. And Shannon's on the show. She's from Poway. Did she want to talk to Tony? I'm sorry about that, Shannon. He just had to go. How are you?
Not too bad. I figured he was probably getting ready to leave, but yeah, I just thought I'd mention to him. I don't know if he remembers me. I played baseball with him freshman year, so
he actually did. He said he's sorry. Before he left, he saw you on the screener, and he said he's sorry that he had to go, but he said hello and he remembers.
Good.
No problem. No problem at all. But yeah. Just want to talk about my frustrations, I guess, with the Padres as well. But what I keep seeing that really frustrates me is the fact that it seems like there's no plan of attack on offense with our whole lineup. It seems like they're just up there swinging at anything close to the strike zone instead of taking pitches, working the count, and finding a pitch that is best suited for them to drive.
Yeah.
And then putting a good swing on it. And it seems like everybody, and Manny Machado, as much as I love him being on our team, he's also a culprit of it. He goes up there swinging first pitch a lot of times when we have, you know, a little bit of a rally going, and he ends up rolling over a soft ground ball. So,
well, that's very frustrating in any team. But let me just say this. Sometimes the first pitch is the best pitch you're going to get, and I don't have a problem with swinging at that sometimes if it's in the zone that you're looking for. But you're right. You shouldn't be swinging at the first pitch and popping it up, because you should pick a zone on the first pitch. And again, I'm talking like I'm a hitting coach, and I'm the farthest thing from a hitting coach. But for the first pitch, you should probably have something in mind, a certain pitch in a certain spot. And if you get it, then you should drive it, and you shouldn't let it go
exactly by.
But if you're just up there and you say, I'm going to swing at the first pitch no matter what, and you're bouncing out, then you're probably not doing yourself any favors. So I see where you're coming from.
That's exactly it. And then, you know, everybody's talking about the pitching. I think the pitching will be fine coming around next season. I think part of it is just all these innings limits and pitch counts, and it ends up putting the whole stress on the bullpen. I think that's part of the bullpen's problem this year. Hopefully next year we get a couple pieces and allow these guys to start stretching it out a little bit, should all work out a little better, I would assume.
It's been a factor. There's no question. I mean, I've been complaining about it all year since the beginning. Even when it was working, I was complaining about the fact that I thought they were taking pitchers out of games too early and that they would eventually pay the price. And that has come to pass. Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate that phone call. All right, Padre frustrations keep on rolling. Brad nearly got on before the break. He's on now from Rancho Bernardo. Hi, Brad. There you are.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, my man?
Good.
Hey, frustrated. I use the term like kissing your sister, and you realize it's still your sister. This season's been hard, man. Hard one, man. That's just not long term. Hey, question. The first Dodger game we went to, and I don't know if you saw this, Hosmer was up about the seventh inning, and they pulled the right fielder in 40 feet off the grass or the dirt in second base with no right fielder. Did you see that the other night? I've never seen that in my entire life.
I didn't see
nobody
it.
Behind him.
So the right fielder was what, standing like behind in very short
like
right field?
Second, deep. Like they had four guys because they had Turner over on third base, and they had four guys between first and second. The fourth guy, about 40 feet deep on the grass, was the right fielder. There was nobody out in right field. They dared him to pull a ball.
Yeah.
And he struck out.
That's, you know, it's. It is, but he's not the only one. I mean, they do this they do this to every single batter now. I mean, apparently Hosmer has, I'm sure if you went through the analytics of it, Hosmer has not hit very many flyouts to right field this year, so they feel like they can bring that fielder in. I mean, the Padres did it to Bellinger the other night, put that big shift on, and he went down the left field line and got a double.
Yeah.
And Hosmer oftentimes goes down the left field line. In fact, I think he's as good at it as any of the Padres taking advantage of that shift. He has 24 doubles this year to lead the team. I bet you half of them are just on little poke shots down the other way. So
he's great. He's great at doing it. I would love to see Tony Gwynn Sr. with this shift stuff.
They wouldn't shift him. They wouldn't be able to shift him. They just wouldn't.
There's no way. The guy eat him alive.
He would. And so that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they wouldn't be able to shift him.
You have a great show, guys. It's fun listening to you.
Brad, thanks so much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brad.
That. Yeah, Scraby too.
Hey, Scraby, thank you, sir.
Hey, bye. Thank you, Brad. You just made my day.
Bird.
Yeah.
Bird. All right, take care, guys.
Thanks, Brad. All right, let's get Philip in La Mesa with some Padre frustrations. Hey, Philip, welcome to Gwynn and Chris and Scraby.
Thank you, guys, for taking my call. Just maybe I'd throw in here. I'm just trying to be constructive. Maybe I'm being a little bit too optimistic. I just think we need to tweak some things, obviously get a stopper in the rotation in the offseason. But the points, just a couple points if I make them, I don't quite understand. I think Myers should be playing every day so he could work out what's going with him. Obviously, Urias is playing every day. He should be our second baseman. I'm not sure why I know, is doing the majority of the catching, but he should be catching every day, setting up the table for next year. And one comment about Andy Green. I think he's an extremely smart manager. My concern is it's like throwing a baseball. I played a little ball, not a lot. When you try and aim the ball, it's not going to go where you want. You just throw it. And I'm just wondering if he's got so much into the hitter's heads about analyzing every single situation about, you know, what counts and stuff like that. They go up there confused. I think Will Myers is a perfect example. He's got so much natural athletic ability. And I know you need some discipline, but I think he just needs to turn him a little bit loose within reason. And I'm just wondering if Andy Green just putting too much stuff in their head and they just can't play ball. So that's my point.
There's no way we could know, obviously, what you're saying, Philip, without actually talking to the players and giving them truth serum. But I know it. I will say this. I think to hit well, and again, here I go playing a pitching coach on the radio or pitching
coach.
You can.
You know enough about it.
I don't. I couldn't hit worth it at all. That's why I pitched. But I believe to hit well, you don't want to be thinking too much up there. So I totally get exactly where Paul is coming from. But whether or not that's the issue or not, I don't know. Will Myers, honestly, I mean, I think everybody gave up on Will Myers about a month ago, and his average hasn't really climbed all that much. But when you talk about the rest of the outfield dropping ever since they traded Franmil Reyes, Will Myers has become more and more of an option now for next year. Because I mean, I think people were just ready to like part with him and go Renfro and go Reyes and go Margot and go, you know, Jankowski when he came back and Cordero and all of these guys, and Myers, forget about him. I'm telling you what, Myers might be a really important player next year. Because right now, nobody in that outfield is impressing me. All right, Jeff in Imperial Beach, and then we'll get to some trivia. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, great, Chris. Chris, Gravy, good evening, good afternoon. Hey, I just wanted to mention, you know, the great T. Gwynn, I think he was one of the last guys ever to have 100 RBIs and less than 10 home runs.
Isn't that something?
What the hell is wrong with hitters these days? It's not okay to get a base hit. I don't get it. Shorten up, put the ball in play. I remember the old Colonel Jerry Coleman talking about hitters. He's a Punch and Judy type of hitter, and you never hear that anymore. Everybody just sweet, bless his heart, may rest in peace. It's probably spinning around in his grave right now at how ridiculous hitters are.
You know, one thing that's interesting that you bring up about, you know, guys swinging from their heels. I mean, Alex Bregman is the guy that comes to mind, the Houston Astro All-Star. He said it exactly that way earlier this season. He said, we don't care about our batting average anymore. It's all about driving in runs and creating runs. Yeah. We don't care. He goes, I could hit 330 if I wanted to. And I was like, yeah, right.
Then do it.
Yeah, how about trying it? But they don't want to hit 330 anymore. They want to hit 280 and then have an OPS around 800 or 900. Because that's what they're getting paid for now is driving in runs, producing runs, scoring runs. So it is a totally different deal. It's a totally different game. And it's the Padres really are not the only ones that are guilty of this. I think a lot of people feel like the Padres right now are the only team like swinging from the heels. They're not. I mean, that was a great point that he just brought up there. Guys, I'm looking at the RBI leaders in the major leagues. There's 11 guys now that have over 100 RBIs in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
The fewest home runs among those 11 guys is Jose Abreu of the White Sox, and he's got 28.
That's still a good amount of home runs.
Right? That's still a lot, right?
Yeah.
So like he was saying, you know, Tony Gwynn Sr. maybe had a year where he had 8 home runs and 100 RBI.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nowhere near close to happening anymore. It's just not even a possibility. It's just not, and you can't just say it's only the Padres. It's all baseball. It's all through baseball. God, think of that. 28 is the fewest that anybody with 100 home runs or 100 RBIs has.
I'll take 28 home runs.
I know, but you'll take it with 102 RBIs because you're producing runs, but there's too many guys that have 28 home runs and 56 RBIs.
Well, that's what Franmil Reyes had when he was here.
Yeah, Franmil Franmil's got 33 home runs this year.
He's on fire right now.
Yeah, he's been swinging a hot bat for the Indians, making life worse for us. He's got 33 home runs, only 63 RBIs for Franmil right now.
That is crazy.
That's less than half, or he has more than half of his RBIs.
Yeah,
the home run number. All right, we'll get to more Padre frustrations as we go along. Like I said, read my blog tomorrow. It'll be on the our webpage, 973thefansd.com. It's funny that everybody's kind of jumping into this because I started writing it today because it's been driving me so crazy.
Chris knows his topics.
What's that?
I said, you know your topics.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is what people are on to right now. People are figuring it out. And I'm sure here's another guy, by the way, with 31 home runs, 62 RBIs.
Who's that?
Hunter Renfro.
yeah. Hunter Renfro, man.
I mean, dude, you hit 31 home runs. You got to produce more RBIs than that.
Dude is right.
Sorry. Did I say dude?
No, dude is right.
Let's play Chris versus the fans here.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me. This guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, at stake today, a pair of tickets to see this lousy baseball team, the San Diego Padres.
Come on.
I'm joking. They're going to be playing a team that's even worse than them, the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
At least you're not the Rockies.
Yeah. Rockies are holding the Padres out of last place right now. A couple of tickets to go see the ball game. Hey, you'll have a great time, obviously, at Petco Park. Saturday, September 7th. if you can win Chris versus the fan, and here's what you got
to
do.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if he gets it wrong, you have a chance to move on to the next question. Or if you're on the third question, you are going to win. I don't know who's first, so I am just going to randomly choose a line. Dan, are you there? Dan.
Dan in El Cajon.
Yes, I am here, guys.
All right, Dan, you're first up today, babe.
Here we go. Dan, what country is Rory McIlroy from?
Ireland.
You are correct.
You're giving him that?
That is where he's from, though.
I thought it was Northern Ireland.
Yeah, it's both.
Those are different
both.
Countries.
Yeah, they are, but I'll give you Ireland.
I like Dan, so I want him to move on.
I was like, wait.
But I'm just pointing out the fact that Northern Ireland and Ireland are different countries.
That's true. I've been to both.
Okay, so, you know, ask the question, name one of two countries that Rory McIlroy is from.
I could have asked, who did Rory McIlroy represent or would have represented the Olympics? And that's England, which made everybody in Northern Ireland mad. Okay, Dan. No
He's
one cared
still
about
alive.
That. No one
still
cared
alive.
About that fact.
Still alive. I cared.
Okay, good. All right, Dan. Who leads the Aztecs in career passing touchdowns?
The Aztecs.
Yes.
Mark McGuire.
Oh.
No, Dan McGuire.
Dan McGuire. Oh. Yeah, that's fair.
I was
Dan McGuire
say, wrong
was
sport.
Mark. No, Dan McGuire was Mark McGuire's brother.
Oh.
Really good quarterback for the Aztecs.
Well, that is incorrect.
Chris. I could miss this. I could easily miss this, but I'm going to take a shot on Todd Santos. He had all the passing records when he retired, so I'll try him, but I don't know if that's
Stay
right.
Stay there. Dan, because it's incorrect.
Who's
Ryan Lindley?
Oh, Ryan Lindley broke that record. Good
for
Ryan.
Yep.
God, I should have remembered that.
All right, we could have a first sweep here. So let's
being
get going.
As I called all of Ryan Lindley's games, I think I might have remembered that. But
let's go to the last question for Dan.
All right, Dan.
Dan,
for
what?
The win.
What kicker made the longest field goal in the NFL last season?
It's not Carly Lloyd, right?
It's not Carly Lloyd, no.
Okay.
Could be next year.
I'm going to have to say...
Need an answer.
Janikowski.
Janikowski is incorrect, but stay there. Chris, do you know who made the longest field goal last season?
I know that Tucker's got the record, I think. 64 yards, but I don't think he did that last season. So it's just one kick last season.
One
who had
kick.
The longest
who had
kick?
The longest one?
So I could guess between one out of 32 guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, Dan, I like your chances here. The longest field goal in the NFL. I don't know who made the longest field goal in the NFL last year. Dan Bailey. I have no clue.
For the win. Incorrect. Dan, you are our winner. It was Graham Gano made a 63-yard field goal. Remember this? Remember that, Chris?
I do remember that now. Yes.
So, Dan, you are our winner. Good job.
Way to go, Dan. Stay
right.
on the line,
like
man.
The
yeah, you can go criticize them up close and personal. You can go out there and... So you only asked that question so you could play that clip?
It's pretty much
yeah.
exactly
that's
right.
not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. So he made a 63-yarder.
He did.
But the record is still 64 yards.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, all right. All right, so just a quick round of Chris versus the fans today. I feel like I've been struggling a little bit on Chris versus the fans. You're up in your game.
I
on
am.
The questions.
I have to.
And the callers have been good.
They have.
I should have got Ryan Lindley. I mean, I guarantee you I was in the booth calling his record-setting touchdown pass. And yet I forgot. So that tells you where my head's at today.
It's Dan's win.
All right. Hey, what? Real quick, before we go to break, 833-288-0973. You want a chance to win a prize, some tickets. Call now. Fifth caller's going to get a chance to play college football pick 'em. Fifth caller. 833-288-0973. Call now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.